Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast with your usual hosts, myself, Henning Gullis, and James Coker. And today, we're going to be talking everything Mexican Grand Prix. It's the Mexico Grand Prix this weekend. It's Checo Perez's home Grand Prix. We're getting into the final few rounds of the 2024 season. And today, we're going to be previewing it, our thoughts. Our predictions will be coming later on in the podcast. But Mexico, for you, James, where does it rank in your circuits on the calendar?
Ay, canta, no llores, porque canto se alegran, cielito lindo los carones.
I love Mexico as a country and a track, but I don't like the race.
I think that's a great answer.
So, if I had never been to the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez, yep. I think when we had that conversation about cutting F1 tracks, I might have said cut Mexico. But after going there, yeah, I got to tell you, the ambiance, the vibes in Mexico City at a race there are immaculate. The Mexican motorsport fans are incredible. And they don't care whether if it's F1, Formula E, IndyCar, Champ Car, IMSA, WEC. They don't care. They just want to see racing. And they're so passionate about it. I will say, when it comes to the actual quality of the race, mm-hmm. it's typically pretty boring. Not a lot of opportunities for overtaking. Cars are too big. Track is too small. But the atmosphere is really fun there, especially like the Foro Sol. It's called something different now, but Foro Sol, like they drive through a stadium essentially on the track. But yes, does not lend to an exciting race typically.
Yeah, I mean, when we come back to the tracks that we would take off the calendar, which, by the way, everyone at home, we are still getting people replying to the post that's on Instagram hating on the tracks that we have selected. But the reason that I did not pick Mexico was because I actually forgot that it existed. It's, for me, it's that boring of a race that I completely forgot about it, and it just went over my head. So yeah, Mexico, just one of those circuits that I can't think of a really exciting race. I can think of exciting moments and potential incidents that we've had at Mexico, for sure. But in terms of actual exciting races where I've come out of and gone, wow, okay, you know what? Mexico can provide some good racing, whether this happens or that happens. And it just hasn't. And I agree with you. It's a great place to go. The fans are incredible. It's so unique in the fact of the altitude that the race is on. The fact that they're running, you know, Monaco-level wings, but getting Monza level pace out of it, or it's the other way around, I can't remember. But the air density also nullifies the engines.
They have to run with really high downforce.
Yeah, and the engines, I remember back in the day when Mercedes was so powerful, it was a way to neutralize the field and give Red Bull a chance, and basically the team who had the best aerodynamic performance would usually do well at Mexico. And I love that. I love that we go to different places, that every race is unique to one another.
We saw that last year too, when Daniel Ricciardo and the AlphaTauri qualified P4.
Result. Yeah, had a great result. But it just hasn't provided great racing. And I think that is fundamentally down to the layout of the circuit. You go through Turn 1, 2, and 3. Why is there a triple chicane? Stupid. I hate it. And I think a lot of people also hate it. And then you get into a tight turn 4, 5, 6, and 7. Why did they build that? Because they put grandstands on the around the outside of that corner. And what do fans love to see? What do they love to see? They love to see Formula One cars drive really, really slowly and sluggishly with zero grip or performance. No, F1 cars should be... When you talk about F1 cars and your different series of motorsport, Formula One, where does it excel? And it excels at cornering speed. You know, you watch a Mugello lap, for example, and you're like, oh my God, that is incredible, the amount of speed they're able to take those corners through. Right. And Mexico, instead, it's just, let's just drive as slowly as possible. Same with the stadium section. Now, it's great. It's unique. It's brilliant. But it is the worst sector on the calendar because there is zero grip there and it is so slow.
They have to slow it down so all the fans can take pictures of the cars.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the driver can give them a little wave every single time they go through there. Exactly. I'd love for a track layout to be made that obviously it still abides with safety and still has those elements of the grandstands that are able to see the cars. But, you know, I do think that the circuit does need to be changed in order for good racing to be had at Mexico.
Agreed. Hard agree. Even the Formula E race that I attended last year, it was round one of season 10. Formula E typically has very exciting racing, a lot of wheel to wheel, a lot of positions changed up and down the grid. For Formula E standards, the Mexico City race last year was pretty boring.
What layout Not did they lot. Run? Because they run a different layout, right?
I believe they did a reverse order than what F1 does.
Oh.
I think the track went the other way. I'm pretty sure.
I know it goes into the stadium section, and before it used to do a different layout inside the stadium.
And it was a shorter track, too.
Okay.
I believe parts of the track were...
Was that this year or last year?
This year.
Okay. So they kind of did a oval with chicanes, it looks like. Kind of like your... Your IndyCar road course at an oval, I suppose. Like a Daytona or a Roval. They did a Roval.
Yeah, exactly. But even Formula E didn't really give us an exciting race when you compare it to some of the other races on that calendar. So I love the site itself, the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez. I love the atmosphere, but I agree with you 100%. They need to... figure out a better track layout if they want to continue to have this on the calendar.
Yeah, I actually quite like the stadium section version that Formula E has. Now, I don't know whether they'd be allowed to do that in Formula One, whether there's different safety specifications that Formula E can have compared to Formula One, but it seems like a faster section than the F1 has, because obviously F1 you come into a hairpin and then you go out of the center, whereas Formula E, at least this one that they had in 2024, what I'm finding on Google, they fly in the usual way, and then they kind of do a loop to come back out the same way, and then go back to the old long. I can't remember what it's called. It's not the Parabolica, but it's a similar sort of sounding Peraltada, I think it's called that corner.
I wouldn't know.
And it was removed because it was far too dangerous for Formula One in modern days. And
there was a banked turn. There was a. Are you talking about the banked turn that was on there? Because there was a banked turn originally on this track that was inspired by the Avis circuit.
Might be,
and that was taken out because it was too dangerous.
Might be. There basically was the Peraltada was like a parabolica-esque corner. There's a lot of similarities between Mexico and Monza that you could say, but it was kind of similar shape. But instead of because it was dangerous and there's not a lot of runoff area in that section, they go out of the stadium section halfway through and basically cut that corner in half, making it safer. But unfortunately, then I feel like it just kind of loses certain parts of the circuit where there's, you know, opportunities for overtaking or, you know, opportunities for battling. It's just sadly slow, sluggish, and not a lot of grip. And yeah, it's certainly something that I hope that they would look at and not just something that they just stick with and then say Sergio Perez is out of Formula One and they slowly then start to leave Formula One as well. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
But let's jump into it right now. A little bit of history. While the first Mexican Grand Prix was in 1962, the 1963 Mexican Grand Prix was the first official Formula One race in Mexico. It ran from 1962 to 1970, then again from 86 to 92, until finally returning again in 2015. Since F1 has come back to Mexico in 2015, Lewis Hamilton has won twice in 2016 and 2019, and Max Verstappen has been absolutely dominant here, winning five times, including the last 3 years. What is it about this circuit that Max likes so much, you think?
I think it certainly helped in the earlier stages of the cars, as I said earlier, being neutralized. So Mercedes' massive engine performance and advantage over the other teams was neutralized, and the aerodynamic performance of the Red Bull was able to shine. And, you know, you always saw Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen in those, you know, 2015, 16, 17 seasons up there fighting for victory around here. So that certainly helped. But, you know, Max Verstappen is Max Verstappen. He's an incredible driver that no matter what track he goes to, there doesn't seem to be a circuit yet that has become a massive bogey track for him, or one that he's really struggled. I think it's only Singapore, which is like one of the only calendars on the track that he hasn't won at. But he still had a good weekend this season. It was just obviously that the McLaren was so much superior to the Red Bull around Singapore.
For sure. Originally called the Magdalena Mixuka Circuit, it was renamed the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez after two brothers and legendary Mexican drivers, Ricardo Rodriguez and Pedro Rodriguez, both brothers who died tragically on the track over 10 years apart, one in the early 60s and one in the early 70s. The track sits at the highest altitude of any other track on the Formula One calendar, 2,285 meters, or if you live in the United States like me and you don't understand the metric system, approximately 7,500 feet above sea level. So high altitude, thin air, less drag. Cars will be running with a lot of downforce, but also with high altitude, it's physically tougher on the drivers because it's harder to breathe. I think about what an incredibly challenging physical adjustment it must be for these drivers to come, not have a break, come right from COTA, try to adjust to this altitude change, and then be expected to perform at like an elite level.
I think that's why I always laugh at people when they say, oh, these drivers, they just drive a car. Like, why they earn the big bucks, or why are they classed as sport, or this isn't a sport, or all that sort of stuff. These are athletes. You know, you go to places like Qatar, you go to Singapore, and you come to Mexico where they're, you know, physically demanding circuits. There's a lot of laps around here. I think it's somewhere like 76 or something laps around this circuit. It's a lot of laps as well. And yeah, as you say, you have to adjust so quickly, but they are athletes at the end of the day and they train for this. You know, I think those three tracks that I've mentioned are the ones that they train for. They've always said that if they can, they train for Singapore, every other track is easier compared to Singapore. If they've trained for Singapore, they'll be able to get through any track that gets in their way. Whether that there's going to be difference for altitude training and stuff like that, of course they're going to be adding that into their regime. But they're high performing athletes. They would have prepared for this long, long before we've even booked flights for Mexico. So I think they're ready.
I remember when I was in Mexico City, I was there for 5 days for Formula E. And, you know, I was just there. I was like attending the track and I was running around a lot and walking and stuff, but like I wasn't driving a car. I wasn't doing any serious physical exertion. I was just interviewing drivers and then going to dinner and drinking a lot of beer. But like I was exhausted.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, you know, I'd be like out of breath. My lips would be chapped because it's really dry there. And, you know, I feel like I would have to force myself to go to bed really early to not get sick.
Yeah.
And I'm not performing at any sort of high level. I'm not being an athlete there. I'm just being a tourist.
That's and one thing. I'd love to sort of know what it's like for a driver. You say about the dryness on like the chapped lips.
Yeah.
If you've ever done go-karting, every time I go go-karting, my mouth starts to get really dry because obviously you're getting the fumes from the kart ahead. And, you know, especially when you do indoor go-karting. I wonder what that feels like for a driver. Obviously, they have the drinks tube, but I know there are some drivers who do not bother with the drinks. You know, it's a choice between, do I want to hydrate myself, but then I've also got to sip on boiling hot water, which is, for a lot of people, off-putting as well. So I wonder what it's like for a Formula One driver during that whole race. Like, how dry is their mouth? How annoying must that be?
Bone dry. That's a great question. But yeah, I just, I'm just in awe of how much they travel in the course of a year, and not only are able to adjust to places of different altitude, but also deal with time change and to be able to get onto some sort of like regular sleep schedule, constantly shifting time zones. It's just, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
For many, last year, this was a two-stop race, but that was mainly due to a red flag halfway through the race when Kevin Magnussen crashed and his car caught on fire. They had to do a full standing restart on, I believe, lap 36. Almost all cars started on mediums, and some were pulling a one-stopper and getting 30-plus laps on the hards. Side note, I don't know if you remember this, last year, Lando Norris had a very impressive comeback drive. He started P17 on the grid and finished P5. So maybe there's something about this track that Lando Norris likes that will give him some sort of advantage coming into this weekend. I don't know.
Yeah, and hopefully for him, though, he'll be starting a bit higher up than P17. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to make things very, very difficult.
For sure.
Of course, he needs to have a really strong result this weekend to give him that chance of the Drivers' Championship, because if another race goes Max Verstappen's way this weekend, I think then it's, you know, the nail in the coffin. It's very much, whilst it might still be mathematically possible, it's very unlikely that he's going to win the championship. Unless some sort of incident happens between him and Max Verstappen and then Charles Leclerc wins and then all three of them get into some sort of championship fight. But that's a lot of coping that I'm taking right now wearing this Ferrari shirt.
I've already seen the conspiracy theories where people are talking about the math it would take for Charles Leclerc to overtake.
I think it's like Charles has to win every single race. Max has to finish less than fifth every single race, and Lando Norris less than fourth every single race. That's a big feat. Seeing as Charles Leclerc has only won three races this season, he has to now go on to win the next
only
five, I think it is.
Three races in one season is pretty impressive.
No, it's pretty good, but now to won three races in the space of, you know, 15 races, and now you've got to go win another five.
Right.
I mean, that's, well, it's three races in the space of nearly 20. So, yeah, that's makes things unlikely, but never say never. Give me an exciting championship three-way fight. I'd love that.
As Formula One fans like to say online, being DeLulu is the Salulu.
Exactly.
But what we should expect for the most part is a one-stop race from most cars, most likely starting on mediums then switching on to hards. As we talked about, overtaking is harder on this circuit. It's narrow, thinner air, less slipstream. The 2023 Mexican Grand Prix had 48 overtakes. This was a record amount for the revised layout, beating 2019's 46 overtakes. 2022 had 24 overtakes, 2021 had 23 overtakes. So, and the circuit average since 2015 is 33. So typically not a lot of overtakes, at Mexico in this current layout of track, but maybe even though there aren't that many overtakes, we still get some exciting racing. Maybe we get some pursuits. I don't know.
hopefully, I mean, something like a like an Austin where we had, you know, Lando Norris hunting down Max Verstappen and Max defending perfectly. Like, just because, as I say, just because there's not a lot of overtakes doesn't mean you can't get exciting racing. I think the problem with the circuit is what we've already touched upon. I think that sector three, very slow, sluggish, difficult to follow through there. And then there it just sets you really far apart from the driver ahead going down in towards turn one. And then you've got a triple chicane, which again is horrible to follow. And then it makes it difficult for the overtake down towards turn four and turn five. Yes, as you touched upon, obviously the air being thinner, less slipstream, harder to utilize that really long straight and to get that overtake. And it kind of means, you know, DRS is you know, there's not really much advantage getting from DRS.
You mean the DRS zone brought to you by Duracell?
Yeah, yes, it is the Duracell DRS zone, isn't it? Oh my god, I so hope that he says that in commentary and down the Duracell DRS straight.
There was a joke on I forget what account was, but there was a joke going around the social media last year about how all of the famous turns at tracks are going to be changed to brands. It's gonna be called like the Amazon Parabolica and like the Globant Chicane.
I'm surprised some circuits haven't already done that. I mean, you've got your historical ones that you would expect to have stayed with it, but like, I don't know, Vegas coming onto the calendar, you could have easily sold every single different section, like the Amazon corner and down in towards Nike. And here comes Adidas.
Cobb's Corner brought to you by Tag Heuer.
He's timed that move to perfection. Brought to you by Tag Heuer.
But according to Lights Out blog, since the event's return in 2015, no podium finishes have been recorded from outside top six on the grid. So even though, like, you, for instance, you had Lando going from P17 to P5 last year, if you want a podium, you got, like it is in most places on the calendar, you got to qualify well. All the races in Mexico since 2015 have featured either a safety car or a VSC.
Yeah, we said that about Singapore, and we all know how that one ended. So
100%, 100% chance of a safety car. But as we remember, there was a red flag last year, so... it is very likely that it will be a safety car, or at the very least a virtual safety car. We'll see. We are going to have Pato O'Ward driving an FP1. As we're recording, it's 10 a.m. in Los Angeles right now. At 11:30, I think, is when FP1 is, my time. So in about an hour and a half, he's going to be driving. By the time you're listening to this, free practice probably will have already happened. But I'm excited to see how Pato O'Ward does. I know he's already driven a free practice session, I believe. Was it last year for McLaren?
Yeah, I believe he has done one before. He's definitely done young driver tests in Abu Dhabi as well. But yeah, I'm excited to see how he does. There's a lot of drivers doing FP1 this weekend. We've got Pato O'Ward in the McLaren. Kimi Antonelli, let's see if he can last a few more laps this time around instead of building it like he did in Italy. But it'd be interesting to see what he can do in the car. I believe Oliver Behrman is also taking part. Robert Schwartzman is taking part. And Drugovich is taking part as well. And there's also a rumor that Fernando Alonso has fallen unwell, which, if he isn't able to recover from, of course, with Drugovich doing FP1, could be a little bit of an insight into what he could do if they need to, you know, last minute put in a reserve driver Fernando Alonso. So who knows? Maybe, you know, you could have an Argentinian on the grid and a Brazilian for this weekend, which could be crazy.
I would love to see that. But my question is, they also have Stoffel Van Dorn as a reserve driver.
Yeah, they have quite a few.
Who is their designated person to replace Stroller, Alonso, and a bind?
Like, I don't know, because these things change all the time. And I remember Stoffel Van Dorn actually was annoyed once. I can't remember the team or the driver he was supposed to replace, but he kind of got snubbed for somebody else and was not happy about it. But I would say, with Drugovich doing an FP1 session, regardless of who you're... Say Stoffel Van Dorn is the actual reserve driver and Drugovich is the test driver, I would be surprised if you would go for Van Dorn over Drugovich, because he would have already done FP1, is what my thinking on that would be. But we'll just have to wait and see. And the other little bit of news coming for this weekend in Mexico is the Williams livery is changing. They are running a bit of yellow on the car. I believe it's a Colapinto sponsor. I'm not entirely sure on that. But they've got some yellow on the car, kind of giving us those early 90s vibes. And I'm here for it. I like it.
Like giving you like Red 5 vibes?
Give it sort of. We're not quite there yet. And it's it's not... When you say, oh, there's going to be yellow on the car, I think that's what you immediately think of. And then you kind of look at it and you're disappointed because it's not that. But I still think it's good. I
don't think it's off that level. You need some red to complement it as well.
Yeah, and the white as well.
The red from the Canon logo. The red, the white from the Canon logo.
Yeah. Red or white, blue, yellow, and then just like little bits of red text. And then they nailed it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What I wanted to talk about real quick, which I thought was really interesting yesterday, Pato O'Ward had a public appearance, and I think this was also in conjunction with an appearance from Checo Perez as well, but it was from Kit Kat. It was like a last minute thing. It was like at a mall. It was very poorly planned. There was like really like there wasn't enough security. They were like doing a bad job sort of like dealing with like the traffic of all the people that wanted to see them. But man, you saw how popular Pato O'Ward was in Mexico. And I think about how Pato O'Ward was really lobbying for IndyCar to go to Mexico and go to Mexico City and maybe like run a race at Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez. And it seemed like it was not a priority for IndyCar. And apparently IndyCar CEO Mark Miles said that Pato O'Ward was not popular enough to justify having an IndyCar race in Mexico. And then NASCAR ended up beating them to Mexico. But then you see scenes like this. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like if Mexico, if Formula E can sell out the Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez with no Mexican driver on the grid, why would they think that IndyCar couldn't do the same with Pato O'Ward, who has that kind of star power?
I think Pato O'Ward is more popular than Sergio Perez was when F1 went to Mexico.
Yeah,
because F1 only went to Mexico because Sergio Perez was doing well. 2015, I think the first race was there. By that point, Sergio Perez was in Force India. He did a small stint in McLaren when, you know, his profile was starting to be raised in 2012 and had a really good season, picking up a few podiums, nearly winning a race in Malaysia in 2012. Then 2013, bad season, goes to McLaren, kind of drops off, gets dumped and gets picked up again by Force India, and then does a couple of seasons there, again impressing and picking up a few podiums and being, you know, that solid midfield driver that was always impressing and being like put in the hat for those top teams whenever they were looking for new drivers. And I think that Sergio Perez then, his popularity, I think Pato O'Ward is a popular driver than he was then. And I think certainly, you know, they go to Mexico, they would get a huge fan base going there and would sell out totally.
Agreed. Also, I think Pato O'Ward might have a bigger social media presence than all of IndyCar does. Because I think a large portion of IndyCar's fan base is older.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense to me. So the math is not mathing.
The math is not mathing. Maybe he just went to Mexico once, had a bad experience, and just doesn't want to go there again. Maybe that's why he's written off the country on one bad experience.
Who?
The guy who's saying that Pato O'Ward.
Oh, Mark Miles. Yeah, maybe he drank the water and got diarrhea. Who knows?
Exactly. Oh, Mike Myers.
Mark Miles. IndyCar needs to go to Mexico. We want to see it. But I made the joke that, you know, IndyCar fans are asking for a race in Mexico. And they're like the Pawn Stars meme. They're like, best I can do is a doubleheader at Iowa Speedway. But we'll see. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into predictions?
No, I think we've all covered it.
You want to go first? You want me to?
I'll go first this time.
Okay.
I am going to go with my P1. So who's got the best aerodynamic performance? I think that's McLaren. They've shown that in Singapore. Their aerodynamics was amazing around that street circuit. I think it's going to benefit them again here. Mexico, I'm going to go Lando P1. I'm going to go Oscar Piastri P2. Verstappen P3. Then I'm going to put Charlie Boy P4 and Carlos Sainz P5. I think Mercedes will be on the back foot. But we said that last time and it went the other way around between Ferrari and Mercedes. So let's see how it all plays out. But yeah, that's my top five. Lando, Piastri, Max, Leclerc, and then Sainz. No Perez in the top five as home Grand Prix. And I also think this could be his last Grand Prix.
Yeah, that, I mean, maybe we need to end on that. But my predictions, I have just given that historically he's done so well in the circuit. And mm-hmm. also he looked pretty good at COTA. I have Max Verstappen P1, Charles Leclerc P2, Lando Norris P3, Carlos Sainz P4, Lewis Hamilton P5.
It's a good shout, to be fair, because starting P3 in Mexico is actually probably one of the better spots to start. So say the McLarens are really, really good, they're P1 and P2. Max starts P3, picks up the slipstream from the McLaren ahead. And I think it was famous in 2021, maybe it was, where Max just shot right around the outside of the first corner. Bottas and Hamilton both on his inside and absolutely nailed it. So you could be bang on. It could be Max getting to the turn one first and then just leading from there up and not necessarily having the best car.
Yeah. So let's end on this question. Mm-hmm. Do we think this Mexican Grand Prix is Checo Perez's last race in Formula One?
To one word answer it, I'd say yes. To explain on that and put myself on the fence a little bit is I do think that this is his last season with Red Bull. I don't think he'll be staying on for another season. I'd be massively surprised if he is. To get rid of him at after Mexico, after Liam Lawson's only done two races, and the reason I would say Liam Lawson now over Yuki Tsunoda, because Liam Lawson had an incredible, incredible American Grand Prix. Yep. And Yuki Tsunoda didn't. And if that happens again in Mexico, say Liam Lawson outshines Yuki Tsunoda, you put him at the forefront to replace Sergio Perez at Red Bull. But would they do that after only two races? You never know. Stranger things have happened in Formula One. Mm-hmm. And Sergio Perez is not performing. And they also need to think about this Constructors' Championship. If they keep on continuing, say Sergio Perez finishes eighth or lower in this race, which is a huge possibility, then you have to consider that you have to get rid of him, put someone else in to give yourself a chance. Otherwise, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, but, you know, right. It still could be. You know, you're not in a good position now at the moment, picking up 4 points every single race. So I think that they should take the gamble, put Lawson in that car, and Perez, sadly, out after Mexico.
You think they should take Perez out of the seat after this race?
I think so, yeah. If the only reason they were keeping him on was this rumor that Liberty Media got involved and they said you can't get him out of the seat because we need him to sell tickets for Mexico, then that reason is no longer valid anymore. And mm-hmm. he can't, like, because they've got they're losing the constructors. They're going to be third in this Constructors' Championship, which is a lot of money lost. So that's they true. Need to think about that.
I hope it's not his last race. I think that Checo will finish out the season. But I do think this is his last Mexican Grand Prix in a Red Bull, for sure.
Red Bull or at all? Do you think he'll find a seat?
I mean, I don't know where.
Too late.
I don't know where he'll find a seat right now. But, I don't know. But, you know, he left for a while and then made his way back into Formula One. So, who knows? But yes, I don't think this is his last race, but I do think this is probably his last season.
Yeah.
And while he is not in my predictions, I really, really hope that Checo Perez ends up on the podium.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good start to a good race. He didn't have a good race last season. He had a good qualifying last season, and then it all went undone at turn one. So he just needs to get through the first corner, and he might be able to get on the podium.
That was heartbreaking. I remember the fans were booing Charles Leclerc after the race. And Charles Leclerc like turned to the fans and he's like, guys, it wasn't my fault.
How dare he exist? How dare he be there? Right, well, that's where we're going to end it on. Mexican Grand Prix this weekend. Enjoy it, everybody at home, and make sure you are following on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to. Check out the WTF1 official socials as well to keep up with all the latest news and gossip that's going on in the Formula One world. Check out myself and James Coker on our social channels too. And we will see you at the start of next week to talk everything that happened in Mexico. And fingers crossed, please, finally, can we have a good race in Mexico? Let's hope that it happens. We'll see you then. Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.